Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Right Side Up with your host, Bill Huff and Mike Tagliavia, where we're talking local politics with an emphasis on what's happening in your neighborhood. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I guess I'm doing okay, but oh my God, the legislature's in session now, and it's just absolutely insane.
Yeah, the left believes that they have their shot to do just whatever they want and get away with it, and they're going whole hog on this whole agenda that they have.
So that's what I thought last year, and I thought it couldn't get any worse. Oh my word! This year they've come back with a vengeance.
Yep.
They're doubling down, tripling down on every bad policy that you could ever imagine.
And here's the problem: they believe that nobody's paying attention.
That could be. I figured they just hated me. They hated me. They hate my lifestyle. They hate the way I live, and they're hell bent on destroying it.
Well, part of it is what they don't like is your freedom. You have freedom. You have freedom to travel when you want. You have freedom to think what you want, to do what you want, to raise your family how you want. And that is not good for a petty tyrant. And that's what we have. We have people who know, they're convinced, they've been told by their professors and others that they know how to run your life better than you do.
They know better than me. Well, I tell you what, the frustration level is just beyond, where I think it's ever been, and I think the average Vermonter's feeling the same way. I've talked to Democrats that, they're getting tired of the taxes, the money spent, all these programs.
Other people's money, our money, taking our money and wasting it.
Oh, just blowing it away.
Just totally blown it away.
Blown it away. Yeah. So, when we're on that topic, I'm going to mention something real quick. I wrote an article rebutting my representative, and it's in the Herald paper.
Okay.
It's going to be in the Journal Opinion. But when I picked up the Herald to see that it was in there, Allison Clarkson, Senator Clarkson, had a thing about housing, a piece below me. And a Coffee, I think her name is the head of the Transportation Committee in the House, had an article above me. So I was sandwiched.
Right.
And I haven't even looked at Clarkson's article yet, but I did look through Coffee's. And you would not believe the crap. And it's all about the DMV fee increase. And the gist of the article is, how lucky we were that the Democrats came and saved us and gave us a 20% increase in DMV fees. We should be thankful.
Yeah, well,
we should be thankful.
Here again, it's because people aren't paying attention, and they think they can just keep talking to people, putting this crazy spin on a horrible increase that was unnecessary, that was unwarranted.
So she actually had the cojones to scold the governor, because the governor wanted to use, I think it was a $9 million surplus in the general fund to get the match, the federal grant match for roads and bridges.
Well, in other words,
how dare he want to use that money?
He wanted to be responsible, and they don't like doing that.
No, what the article didn't say, and one of these days I'm going to have enough time to send a rebuttal in here, but what the article didn't say was that money that the Dems already had that earmark for a pet project. They had already spent the $9 million surplus, but it wasn't spent on what they wanted.
That's why.
So in order to have the matching funds so we could get the federal dollars, the only way the Dems could do it was to increase DMV fees. And she had the audacity to say that we've got the lowest DMV fees in the region. You and I both know. We looked into it.
No.
We've got the highest.
No, we used to. There was a time when we had the lowest fees. But those days are gone. Days are gone.
But the gall to scold the governor for wanting to use those dollars for the match.
Well, they had
but
their plan.
But the Democrats came to our rescue, Mike. They came to our rescue and forced us all to pay 20% more DMV fees across the board so we could get the match because they had already spent the money. It was already gone. They had a pet project that needed to be funded.
Yeah. They came in with their plan.
They didn't want to use it for the match.
No, they came in with their plan. And their plan is going to destroy this state financially if we don't stop it. And one of the things, you know, I kind of misspoke. We got this 20% increase. It should be taken away. It should be made to go away when we finally get a legislature that believes in being fiscally responsible, believes in balancing a budget. This supermajority does not. It's just spend, tax and spend.
Well, apparently they're starting to feel it in their own pocket because they want a pay raise. Last year, the pay and benefits, the bill that they passed, both House and Senate, was to essentially double their income, pay and benefits over a couple years. And the governor vetoed it, and they didn't have the cojones to override the veto, or they didn't quite think they had the votes to override it. So this year, it's back again, both House and Senate bills, to give them a pay increase. But now they've softened it a little bit. So, you know, to try to get this thing passed this time.
How did they soften it?
Well, now you don't get the health insurance. Insurance is gone. And this is hot off the press. The other thing that I think is now not under consideration, although you never know, it can always come back into play.
Right.
But in the original bill, they were going to get paid in the off season. So they get a salary every week while they're in session, but the bill was going to pay them, I forget, so many days of pay during the off season when they're not in session.
No, this is absolutely wrong. This is the worst. This is like a poison pill for the state. If we wind up with this nonsense getting passed, first of all, if it does get passed, if we get a responsible legislature, it needs to be repealed. If you get elected to a state legislature, you're there, you should be there, because you want to serve and help your fellow, in this case, Vermonters. You should not be there because you're after the pay and benefits, and they're trying to make it so that everybody is there for the pay and benefits, not to serve the public.
Oh, they'd like to make it a full-time legislature with full-time pay and benefits. And I tell you what, there's not a Vermonter anywhere that thinks we need a full-time legislature. This is
not
a little tiny state.
We absolutely do not. And nobody should believe the BS that they're hauling.
We should cut this session in half. The 1,200 bills already introduced. 1,200. We don't need 1,200 bills. We're going to talk about some here later on the show. This is ridiculous. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But like I said, it is starting to get into the, you know, bother some legislators that they're not going to get this pay. Well, the proposed pay increase now is only 46%.
Only? Hold on a minute. Bill, you've been around a while. You've had a couple of different jobs. How many times did you get a 46% pay increase?
That's pretty rare. Pretty rare. If ever, you know, that just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen.
But I tell you what, we talk about Rob Roper all the time, behind the lines.
Behind the lines, exactly.
Yep. If you haven't checked it lately,
Substack.com.
Yeah. I think last Saturday, maybe Friday or Saturday, and there's even a visual. Everybody likes looking at pictures, playing a little video.
It's a video.
So he's got from the Senate Government Operations Committee on the 24th of January at 3:10 p.m. If you want to get online and look at the workings in the Government Ops Committee, or just go find Rob Roper's Behind the Lines, and he's cut it down to the few minutes where you can see one senator, Senator Becca White from Windsor County, and just how perturbed she is at each one of these cuts, losing what she wanted for health care, losing the fact, and she's visibly disturbed and makes no bones about it, that, hey, I wanted to get paid during the summer. I wanted to get paid for, you know, what, and I forget now, Well, let me read through this real quick. It's real short. Watching a whining... This is Rob Roper's from Behind the Lines. Watching a whining, sarcastic, entitled Senator Becca White, Democrat from Windsor, meltdown, and among other things, call such a piddling windfall a tough pill to swallow. That's what I was looking for. I wanted the quote from Senator White about the 46% proposed increase. Now, that's a tough pill to swallow. Do you think she's there to serve her constituents, Mike?
It doesn't sound like it, Bill. There are a lot of people who are taking it... hardworking Vermonters who are taking it on the chin financially because of this supermajority and the nonsense that's going on in D.C. We're watching our savings be depleted. We're watching our retirement accounts take a huge hit. We're watching our grocery bills skyrocket. We're watching our registration fees, thanks to this legislature, skyrocket. And she's griping about a possible 46% pay increase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I want to make one thing perfectly clear. It's not just Senator White. This thing is rampant.
Oh, no.
Democrats and progressives in the Senate and the House, you know, we just happen to have a video clip available.
So you can see it.
You can watch it in action.
Right.
But most every senator... There's a whole host of them.
They're foaming at the mouth over this.
There's another bill in the House. Same thing. This is the same kind of crap. And, of course, let's remind everybody that last week we talked about S-300, another Senate bill that Becca White, Senator White, sponsored S-300. And just to remind folks, S-300 is a bill sponsored by, again, not just her, 12 senators that would decriminalize personal use sale of methamphetamines, depressants, LSD, and ecstasy.
Now, Bill, I believe our listeners already know how damaging those particular drugs can be to a human and their body and their family because of addiction. There is no reason whatsoever to be doing this unless the only goal you have is a more dependent population and another voting block to go out and remind, hey, I got you your free pass to go buy whatever drug you're addicted to without fear of prosecution. This is really pathetic.
It's horrible. My God, you know, this is the kind of stuff that drives you and me nuts. And, and I'm sure thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of
hardworking Vermonters.
This is just insanity. Yeah. Absolute insanity. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about safe injection sites, and now we're gonna do all the, you know, legalize LSD and ecstasy and methamphetamines. Not only for personal use, but personal use distribution.
Right.
It's gonna be legal to dispense the stuff and pass it around.
Yeah. So
I tell you what, before we run out of time for this segment, I want to mention one more bill, Senate Bill S-258, sponsored by the Senate Natural Resources Committee. Senator White's on that committee. She's a sponsor, as well as a bunch of other ones. But S-258 would dismantle the Fish and Wildlife Board as it currently exists. If you don't know, right now there's a gubernatorial appointee, one person from each county. So the whole state is represented on a Fish and Wildlife Board. Senator White knows nothing about wildlife in this state. She's never hunted, fished, trapped. You know, I dare to say she probably never, you know, camped out in the woods. I personally experienced her ecstatic jubilance over the sighting of a chipmunk. We were actually campaigning together. I think it was on...
sighting of a chipmunk.
Yes. She jumped up and down. Look, everybody, look, wildlife. It was a chipmunk.
It sounds like one of those sound bites from AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, with her being ecstatic over plants growing up out of soil. This is
well,
nuts.
There you go.
It's nuts.
Who would have ever thought, Mike? We're on a roll here today.
Yeah,
much
we're not
more
gonna
to, much
stop.
More to come. I love, stay this way forever. Blackmore, right side up. Mike and I are hot today. You know, things are just bizarro world. Yeah, this is insane.
Totally bizarro world.
So we've given you a phone number, a way to contact your legislature and legislators, and I'm going to give it to you again. We'll probably give it to you most every week because it's imperative.
Yes.
It's absolutely necessary that you call these people and let them know that you don't want to live in bizarro world.
Yes.
This is insanity. So all you have to do, write this down, grab a paper, pen, write this down. Call the Sergeant at Arms, 802-828-2228, anytime between 8 and 4, Monday through Friday. They'll even help you find your correct legislator to send it to. It doesn't have to be a big, lengthy message. Just tell them you don't want safe injection sites. You think they, you know, if they need to double their pay, then they should just leave. You know, just something simple. Tell them that you don't think it's right that these people want to legalize ecstasy, LSD, methamphetamines.
There's no benefit to methamphetamine for anybody. None. Unless, of course, you like losing your teeth and brittle bones and frying your brain and not being useful or productive and stealing from your family to feed your habit.
So that's S-300. And, yeah. And you can call them and tell them, look, no on S-300. We don't want any more drugs in the state. That's the root of our homeless problem. It's the root of our crime problem. Yes. Why would we want to legalize this stuff and legalize this distribution?
To get more people dependent on the state. That's why. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me. I've got a question for you about these unsafe injection sites. I will not call them safe injection sites. They are addiction maintenance sites is all they are. I think there's a whole bunch of unintended consequences here. Where is the incentive for these people who will show up at these sites to shoot up or smoke or do whatever they do with these illicit drugs? Because I've never done these drugs, so I don't know how the heck they even do them. Where's their incentive for these people to leave these sites? Where is their incentive? How are you going to, are they going to be open 24/7, 365? How are you going to get people? You get somebody who shoots up. They're going to be basically, I don't know, catatonic. They're going to be completely inoperable as humans. How are you going to get them to leave this site? What are you going to do? Are you going to provide a taxi for somebody who's high? How are they going to leave? Are you going to wind up? Here's the other thing. Are you going to let them just walk out and hop in a vehicle so they can put somebody else at risk?
At risk, yeah. The greater public at risk.
There was an article, I forgot what state it's in. There was a woman who was given a ridiculous sentence. I forgot what it was. But she stabbed her boyfriend 108 times. She was in a psychotic state from smoking high-potency marijuana. And the judge had the gall to say that she was not responsible for her actions. I have a question for that idiot judge. And yes, I said he's an idiot. There was a long time ago, I remember when they were pushing for DWI laws, and they were making people, they were saying, you are responsible. You cannot say you're not responsible for the wreck of a car or injuring somebody in a DWI accident, because when you sat down and bellied up at the bar or wherever you drank, you made a conscious decision to drink. Well, how is it that a woman who stabs someone 108 times is not responsible because she smoked marijuana, but somebody who drinks is responsible for in a car accident? It doesn't make any sense. But like you just said, we are in bizarro world.
So I don't know the bill number, but there is a bill, and I'm guessing that it was a House bill, to increase the legal amount of the potency, THC, in marijuana that's sold in the state.
It's already at dangerous levels. These people are insane. It's already at dangerous levels.
You know, back when I was a kid, the percent THC, from what I understand, and I was never a user, so I'm relying on other people's research, but it was in the teens or 20%.
I think you're right, yes.
I think now it's legal to sell at a dispensary in the state up to, I think, in the neighborhood of 75%, 79%.
Really? I thought it was only as high as about 60%.
Well, say that it is 60. Say that I'm wrong.
That's insane.
Say the 60. The bill out there now is to make it stronger. Now, to legalize a stronger drug.
We have seen numerous cases in the courts where people, and doctors have even attested to it, even people who have been shot and killed by law enforcement. When there's an autopsy done, the doctor said that this person was so high that they were probably hallucinating. And we're trying to make it more potent. Back in the 60s and 70s, you practically would have to smoke a bale of this stuff to get you as high as these people who are getting high now on only one or two marijuana cigarettes.
So a couple of minutes ago, you were talking about, you know, being responsible for your own actions. Have you heard the latest about the Addison County State's Attorney?
You mean the one that was arrested for a suspicion of DWI?
Yeah, she showed up at a crime scene, drunk, and they were arrested her, and she refused the breathalyzer test. She refused to be fingerprinted. She didn't want any of the consequences of operating a motor vehicle to arrive at this crime scene drunk,
right?
Which she apparently was.
Rules for thee, but not for me,
Bill.
Well,
and guess what?
What?
How are they going to prosecute her? This was on the news the other night. There's a conflict of interest with the personnel in her office.
No, they'll have to prosecuting
her boss, their boss.
They'll have to do a change of venue. She'll have to be tried in another county. She'll have to be.
Well, they better.
The problem is, wait a minute. Better.
No, what I got out of this was, oh, geez, so we got a problem. We're not going to be able to prosecute this. So
just let's go. Let it go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought.
What did I just say? Rules for thee, but not for me.
Well, it better not happen.
Well, guess what? She better be prosecuted somewhere in a very far off place from where she is. Because the chances are, all the prosecutors know each other. And you're going to have to, it's going to be hard for them to find somebody who will not be biased toward this person, who want to be lenient. So it's...
Yeah, I think there is a problem with her underlings trying to prosecute their boss for the crime.
Even if it goes to another county, because there's so many people who know each other because of crimes that are committed cross county lines and stuff. I'm sure they see each other in court. Maybe they've gone to different banquets or whatever gatherings. They see each other at different trainings. So, you know, this is one of those things where if the laws are on the books, they need to be applied, right? Everybody's supposed to be equal in the eyes of Lady Justice.
Supposed to be.
We'll see what happens.
If you're not mad yet, maybe by the end of the show, 802-828-2228. That's the Sergeant at Arms number, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. If you prefer email, regardless of who your legislator is, it's the first initial, last name, at leg.state.vt.us. You need to speak up. You need to let these people that they are just out of line. Yeah. Out of line.
Bill, I just had an idea. Maybe one of the latest pieces of electronics that we need to add to the studio is a defibrillator.
For us?
I mean, some of this stuff is so crazy. It could stop your heart. It's just, you can't dream this nonsense up. This sounds like some sort of crap that would be dreamt up in a Hollywood movie.
Yeah. I want to get back to S-258 for a while because I don't think we've talked about it on the show. Like I said, it's an effort to dismantle the current Fish and Wildlife Board. If anybody out there cares anything about the wildlife in this state, you got to call your senators and tell them this thing should go nowhere. But the Fish and Wildlife Senate Committee, I think, is five or six members, and I think they've all signed on to this bill. They're all in favor of it, even though I don't know as any of them spend any time in the woods doing anything with the animals. But the proposal is to dismantle the current structure, which I previously described as a gubernatorial appointment, one from each county. so that everybody is represented from every corner of the state. And the Fish and Wildlife Board is charged with managing the fish and wildlife rules and regulations in this state for the benefit of everybody, yes. Whether you hunt, fish, trap, or not. Consumptive or non-consumptive users, it doesn't make any difference.
That's the
their charge
be.
Is to protect the wildlife in this state. And the proposal is to dismantle it and have the legislature appoint a number of the board members.
Oh, isn't that nice?
They want to politicize the entire board. Forget about managing the wildlife. They want to politicize the whole process. And this is from people, like I said, probably never pull the trigger, on a firearm, to shoot a partridge, a duck, never a fish. Never seen a marten, never seen a fisher in the woods, a bobcat, bear, a moose. These are from people that don't camp, they don't hike, they don't spend time, days in the woods like I do and like a number of people in this state do. Yeah. And supposedly they know, like you said earlier, Mike, they know better than us. They're going to fix it. We don't have a problem, but they're going to fix it. They're going to politicize it.
Yeah. And what it's going to do is everything that we've talked about these past two shows, it's going to completely destroy the heritage of Vermont. It's going to take away the heritage of Vermont. It's going to make it nothing more than a memory, which is ridiculous. Every one of these beautiful 50 states in the United States of America is a little bit different. Every state has its own personality. And what the political left is doing is trying to completely destroy the heritage that we have in this entire country.
They certainly don't care about my heritage. They don't care, what I do on my time off. They don't care why I live in this state. And I know so many people that are fed up. They can't pay the taxes. They're fed up with the nanny state. They're fed up with the increasing fees. They're fed up being told how they're going to live their lives. What you're going to drive for a vehicle? How are you going to heat your home? They're out of here. They're leaving.
Well, I believe the political left, the progressive left, wants to make the entire state of Vermont their private little country club.
Well, that's all that's going to be left. Well, that and the druggies. You pass S-300 and make personal possession of all these drugs legal.
You're going to have an
possession
influx
and distribution, plus influx. Safe injection sites. Yeah, we got a population problem. We got a demographic problem. I guess they figure they're going to fix it by having 10,000 drug addicted people move into the state.
Well, that's what it's going to be. It's like, hey, we can get away with this here. We can feed our addiction instead of
actually trying to help the person. It doesn't to enable that kind of behavior.
Every day that they're on these drugs is one less day in their life, and it's a day that they may be their last. And this is every time they do this, whatever it is, heroin, methamphetamine, whatever it is, they're one step closer to death. And it's just absolutely insane.
And ruining their own lives. There's no end game here.
No.
When you pass this kind of stuff, there's absolutely no end game. You're going to enable a behavior. You're going to continue that behavior. And this legislature's just hell-bent on passing all this kind of stuff. It's insane, Mike. Bizarre world. But here we go again. Legislature's in session. All bets are off. Going to be more. Right side up. Just another couple of minutes. Make sure you get your pen and paper. We'll give you that address and email address and phone number when we get back.
You're listening to Right Side Up. My name is Mike Taglavia. My co-host is Bill Huff. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at rightsideupradio@gmail.com if you'd like to send us a note. You can find us on WNTK.com if you are unable to listen to us on the radio. We have podcasts available. You go to WNTK.com, click on the podcast on the header, and scroll down to Right Side Up. You can listen to numerous of our shows, and you can listen any time of the day or night that you like. So give us a listen. Tell your friend. Let us know what you think. We were talking about a number of things. Bill, one of the things I wanted to point out to our listeners, and they probably already know this, but hunting and trapping is actually part of preservation. A lot of the people who don't like hunting, or the idea of hunting or trapping, they don't realize that it has a lot to do with preservation of wildlife as well.
We're the largest group of conservationists out there.
Yes. And there are a lot of things that, like you were telling me during the break, there is a lot of statistics, biological statistics, that hunters and trappers provide to the state, and it's valuable research. It helps manage the wildlife. And there are so many people who do not understand that or just don't want to hear it.
Trappers in particular are required to turn over the carcasses from three different animals, fish or otter and bobcat, I believe it is, and they use them for research. And as a consequence of that, the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department actually has the largest database anywhere in the country when it comes to fisher.
Okay. So, hey, we're a leader, and that's a good thing.
Well, it is a good
thing.
Finally,
we have a good statistic.
And I think there's, because of that research that was done by the carcasses provided by trappers, I think it was a insecticides or something similar. I think that they've begun to detect in
rodenticides. Rodenticides in coyotes, I know they've been tracking in livers.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, it's all part of the same food chain kind of thing. So
yes,
it's something that we need to be concerned about, and has only been detected because of that research done by the Fish and Wildlife Department by carcasses supplied by trappers in the state of Vermont.
I attended a meeting and with regard to hunting and trapping just recently, a couple months ago, and there was I believe he was a veterinarian, and he was talking about some of the research and how it is helpful with respect to disease and some diseases that they're concerned might cross over. This research is very helpful. It is very helpful, not just for the wildlife, but for us as well.
Oh, yeah,
this
right.
This man made a very good point, and he did a very good presentation about it. It made total sense.
Yeah, when it comes to rabies, the mange, and in particular, distemper.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem these days has not been rabies, but distemper, canine distemper, because it transmits very easily into household pets. And, you know, there have been instances just recently. Well, there was a bobcat in Wilder, I think 2 years ago. They wound up shooting it in the middle of town.
I think I read an article somewhere. I was in a town in New Hampshire.
This was in Vermont. Okay. And I know we've had, I think, at least two cases of canine distemper in Thetford right here in my hometown. In the last 2 years, two or three cases of canine distemper. It's very similar to rabies, but I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not sure what the difference is, but there are some similarities. It's a wild animal acting pretty crazy.
Yes.
Not naturally. But at any stretch, yeah, trying to dismantle the Fish and Wildlife Board and politicize it is just crazy. And from a handful of people that really know nothing about wildlife, it's crazy. The Fish and Wildlife Board, as it exists, is represents every corner of the state of Vermont, and does it apolitically. It's not a political board, and this bill would politicize the thing.
They've been doing a pretty good job. The only thing they haven't done is end hunting and trapping, and that, I believe, is the end game.
Oh, no, no, there's bills. We fight them every year. Yeah. I don't care. You hunt, trap, use a firearm in a state. We're all under attack, and it's constant, and it's by people that don't have a clue. No. Who we are or what no, what makes us who we are.
They don't like hunting. They don't like trapping. They don't like firearms, and that's all they need to know.
So I tell you what, Mike, we've only scratched the surface. We've talked about two or three bills now, and there's over 1,200 or in the neighborhood of 1,200 bills that are out there in play. So I just wanted to let people know, you know, some of the other crazy stuff that's going on in the legislature. Don't forget that phone number.
Yeah.
828-222-2228. Call your sergeant at arms. Let them know that you know, this is crazy. The next one I wanted to talk about was H713, House bill sponsored by Representative Priestley out of Bradford. She represents Bradford, Fairley, West Fairley, and it's an act relating to establishing a 32-hour work week.
I've got a number of questions. Okay, because I think somebody else I know brought this up. What about the unintended consequences again, Bill? I'm an employer. I've got bills to pay. I've got unemployment insurance. I've got workman's comp insurance. The list goes on and on. Utilities, everything else. How am I supposed to make up the difference in lost revenue because my employees are only working 32 hours now? Now the other thing, okay, since these people are so smart, they're smarter than me and you, what about the people who are employed? Now they only have a 32-hour work week. They're going to be making less, right? Or is she just going to give automatically demand that they get a raise? How are they supposed to make their rent or their mortgage or their car payment working less hours? The laws of unintended consequences just keep slapping these people in the side of the head, and they just don't get it.
It's unbelievable. You know, this is very European. You know, there are some European countries that have a 32-hour work week.
The European Union is collapsing.
Oh, it's in horrible shape.
Let's not do like Europe does.
No, but that's what they think. And I tell you, my God, I have heard so much now from, I don't know which generation it is. There's 15 different generations out there now, just like there are genders. But there's a lot of the younger, you know, I guess in the 20s, that they just don't want to work. The work is an imposition on their life.
Guess what? I've got a question. Do you like to eat?
Well,
do you like a nice warm place to sleep?
Of course I do. And somebody else will give that to me. Somebody else will provide. Somebody that's one of those rich guys.
Well, here
we're
going to
let the rich make up the difference.
Here at Right Side Up, we don't believe in socialism. At least I don't.
That's exactly what this is. I mean, yeah. This is absurd.
The nanny state will take care of you.
But again, I think Priestley from Orange 2 is the lead sponsor. But, you know, there's probably 100 other Democrats that sign on to these crazy bills.
It's just the state cannot be the sole provider or the major provider of all of the things in your life that you need. It will not work.
At some point, you got to stand up on your own two feet and take care of yourself. Yeah. You're responsible for you.
Yep. What is it? I forgot who it was. It was a quote from somebody. A government large enough to give you everything is large enough to just take it away whenever they feel like it, too.
If Senator White's not making enough money in the legislature, she should leave. She should go get a job.
Yeah.
Go get a real job.
She should be a citizen legislator, and if she doesn't want to be, that's not the job for her. Please
not
resign.
My fault.
Go
not
home.
My fault. I don't have to make you into a full-time legislator. Go make some money somewhere. Oh, my word. Yeah, how about H-88, an act relating to reducing the imposition of cash bail?
Wait a minute. Imposition. Now, I've got another one for you, okay? What about the poor victim who was impositioned by getting banged over the head and bloodied?
We don't care about victims anymore.
I do.
It's all about the criminal.
I do.
And how, you know, they've suffered their whole lives, and we owe them everything.
So the criminal is going to make somebody who, an innocent victim, somebody who has nothing to do with them, pay for it. I think I've said this before. I'm not sure if I said it on the show, and this is another quote. I forgot who it's from, but it's from somebody from way back. Mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the innocent. Okay, do you know who the lead sponsor is of that nonsense?
Oh no,
imposition of cash bail.
I don't. But here again, I think this is one of those bills where, you know, if it's a house, it is a house bill. It's House 88. That there's a hundred legislatures signed on to this thing.
That this is crazy. If I'll tell you, let's see how much of an imposition it is for some of these legislators to house some of these poor people. Who can't afford the imposition of cash bail?
God, there was
there
was somebody. There was a city councilor. Was it in New York or California? Saw on the news the other day that actually had suggested that there's a way to fix the housing problem. I think.
They are pushing that in a number of cities. They're trying to get private citizens to house some of these illegals.
Well, yeah, and this gentleman, you know, looked at everybody else on this board with him, the city council or whatever, and said, take some home. You do it.
Look, live your virtue out loud.
Yeah.
Show us how it's done.
Yeah.
Show us how it's done.
H-117, an act relating to preventing death by suicide. All we got to do is pass a law, Mike, and we'll fix it.
Yeah, we outlawed murder, and that worked out great, didn't it?
Sure.
There's no more murder in this state.
We'll just pass a bill. An act relating to divestment of state pension funds of investments in fossil fuels. Here we go again.
What is this? This is that ESG nonsense.
Yeah.
That's going to bankrupt the state. We already
have... Well, this is stupid.
Yeah.
you left brain, right brain. You know, you are work with emotion on one side, and it's logic on the other. These are retirement funds for state employees, and your responsibility,
yeah,
is to do the best you can for these people. You're entrusted to manage their money, and here we're going to politicize it.
And
take out, you know, a bunch of investments that have done well.
How many of these sponsors of that particular bill are going to be willing to live their virtue? How many of them drove to Montpelier to introduce this stupid nonsense in a vehicle powered by petroleum products, not fossil fuels, because that's a misnomer?
Even if it's not an ICE, even if it's not an internal combustion, they could drive their Prius here. But guess what? The rubber on the tires,
right.
The plastic panels that make the thing up, yeah. The leather on the steering wheel, leather in the shoes, their plastic coat, it's all petroleum products.
So what they need to do is get a donkey and a cart and get to Montpelier that way.
We ought to pass a law, Mike.
Yeah, we ought to. We'll fix it. We'll fix it, right?
Oh, my God. We're going to run out of time. There's so many of these things. H-210, an act relating to leave from employment for legislators. So if we're going to make a full-time legislature, they got to have paid leave. Right?
These are not legislators. These are princes and princesses. That's what they are.
Here's the House version, H-281, an act relating to increased compensation and expanded benefits for members of the General Assembly. I told you there was a competing bill in the House.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, this list just goes on and on and on, and it goes from crazy to nuts.
The crazy continues.
But, you know, I tell you, we're running out of time for this week, so make sure you... come back and follow Right Side Up next week, because while the legislature's in session, lots of fodder. Bring your paper and pen. We're going to give you that email address and the phone number so you can get a hold of us.
Stay involved.
Well, stay safe. Stay informed. Listen to Right Side Up.
Save the pace, so you leave.